Your tears have not been given in vain, said the Lord. He says, for every tear you've dropped, for every tear you've cried for your father, I have caught them. And I have captured every prayer. And it is filling up, says the Lord. It is filling up to the very brim. And I'm about to pour it out on him. And I saw her dad laying down in his cage. And it was like he was chained up. And I said, he seems to be in chains and he seemed to be bound and he seemed to be trapped. But the Lord was about to pour this glass upon him and set him free. And he said, take courage, for the day is coming and very soon that the Lord is going to pour out all those prayers and set the captive free. And a month later, she got a phone call from her father. And the father got born again in jail. He says, I found Jesus. I found the Lord. And months after, he was set free from jail. And he's serving the Lord God Almighty. And the Lord brought that to me. He said, your prayers are not in vain, says the Lord. Every tear, every drop, every second has been counted, says God. And it is filling up in heaven. There are people that are broken. There are people that are alone that have lost hope. And God's coming with the wind of hope. And he's saying, I love you. I have not stopped. When that little girl every night was praying and crying out for her dad. Some of you, that's a spouse. Some of you, that's a child. Some of you, that's a situation in your own life. And the enemy wants you to stop praying because it's filling up really full. And he's afraid. He's afraid about what's about to be poured out. Because it's going to loose chains. It's going to break hearts. It's going to set the captives free. And the Lord says, lift your head up and take courage, says the Lord. For the hour is coming and is soon upon us that I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And I'm going to break the chains. I'm going to set the captive free. Hallelujah. That which was oppressing you will oppress you no more, said the Lord. So keep on praying, says God. You are not alone. I am here with you. Take courage, says God. Your finest moments, the greatest hours upon us. As a church, as believers, everything has not gone to waste. Every prayer has not gone to waste. I saw the Lord capturing every prayer. Every prayer. Hallelujah, saints of God. Hallelujah, take courage.
To God, promises from God's word, from his spirit. Hallelujah. Bless you today. May Jesus do some special things. Why don't you shake hands with the person next to you, smile at them, hug them, hug her, whatever. Took our masks off. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless you this morning. If you come into the house of God, that you be blessed of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Best place to be. Jesus said that. Hallelujah. A lot of people, when Jesus was saying it, in John 2, where they'd kind of made a house of supplies and they were selling and doing different things in the sanctuary, and Jesus said, you know, he got a little bit on the upset side, started flipping tables and saying, hey, you know, this is the house of prayer. It's consuming me. Don't make it a house of thieves. And we don't want to do any thievery in God's house today. I believe the word of the Lord was yes and amen. I believe that Tom had the word of the Lord and God spoke to him and he spoke it out. That's the big thing about it. We got to speak out God's word, amen. And it was talking about a season of time, which this is the season that we're in. Let's say it together. This is the season that we are in. Okay, it's kind of important because we could probably say, well, that's next week, next year. But the season I believe that God has placed us in with signs, wonders, and miracles are upon us today. And you know, there's a lot of prophetic things that have been spoken. And back in the day, it seemed like everyone was writing a book on end times. And you know, it's the end time scenario, and everyone was writing a book. And so we're going to talk a little bit about end time scenarios, and about maybe not writing a book, but talking about some of those that did. God bless you, kids. Have a great, great time in Sunday school. Hallelujah. Again, we get an opportunity at the beginning of summer, or yeah, let's call it the beginning of summer, that we get to sow into the kingdom with our tithes and offerings. So in that thought, if you're making out a check, you can make it payable to Community Church. God bless you in your giving. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So, Father, we thank you for your goodness today. We thank you for your mercy, your love. We thank you for the fire that you placed in us and will continue to have that fire burning in us. And I know when they walked on the road, the two disciples, they were discussing what had happened. Jesus had been crucified, and no one was real happy. But Jesus appeared to them, and they didn't know it was Jesus that appeared to them, and they kept on walking, and apparently Jesus was really laying some stuff on them, and they just said, man, this dude is pretty sharp. So he kept on walking, and pretty soon he walked right out of the picture, and the two disciples, they were going, well, what happened? Well, didn't you feel when he walked with us that our hearts burned within us? And I think about that song years back. I don't know if it was Matt. Burn in me, let the fire of God's love burn in me. And I think it's real important in this day and in this season that Bible talks about in the end days that people will actually go away from the Lord. It's not so easy walking with Jesus. We had a prayer meeting yesterday, and I was just writing down some things, and Pastor Jim had brought up something on the realm of persecution. And of course, we go through persecution, even if it isn't about the church or Jesus or anything. Sometimes you're just persecuted for living and being around people. You know, they're not so nice. And so I thank God when people, you know, attend to themselves and get a hold of Jesus and start burning, letting him burn in them. Amen. And I can't say more than 100 or 1,000 times, thank God for Jesus Christ living on the inside of me. When I can call upon the name of the Lord, and he will save me from all of my friends? No, my enemies. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we're blessed. Coming up, we have Prophet Dave Wagner is going to be here on June 7th, which is a Monday night, which is very unusual. And it looks like we got the information up there. And that's going to be a night of prophetic utterance, hopefully to us, and even individually getting ministered to at that time. Now, we've heard some very, very good word. And it's important that we take this Bible, read it, take time to think about it, eat it, And when we do, it'll change our life. The Word of God will change our life. And you'd say, well, you know what? I read my Bible every day, and that's great. You can listen to your Bible every day. You can go for about 15, 20 minutes, and it goes through the whole Bible in 1 year's time, which is cool, because you can do that, probably getting up in the morning, putting it on for 15 minutes, and they'll run you through the Scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament, and it'll be good for you, because what happens, what I find out when I do that, it's almost like the Scriptures that we're in, even if it's in some genealogy that you're reading a bunch of names, it still has the anointing of God on it. And you think about generations, you think about the battles that are going on in the earth today is about different nations and different people groups and different religious groups and different color of people. And they're making, that's the big thing now. I mean, we can't figure out what is going on. It seems like, well, what kind of war do we got? What kind of war are we fighting? And, you know, the Bible talked about some areas that really was very, very powerful. And the one scripture was, I named this the time of the seasons. And Lowell Lundstrom wrote a book, evangelist Lowell Lundstrom wrote a book, and it was The Wind Whispers Warning. The Wind Whispers Warning. And I think about the wind of the Holy Spirit whispers warning. And so in the Scriptures, when he warned us about something, it was the wind of the Holy Spirit that was saying, hey, you know what? Something's going on. This is how I'm supposed to pray. This is how I'm supposed to react, because the wind of the Holy Spirit is saying this. And it's not always, well, everything's going great, wonderful, great things. And the fact is, if you look at the whole picture, you have Jesus living in you. You have the assurance of eternal life. You cannot die. You will live with Jesus, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all of his angels. So you've got the best thing going. You know, it's definitely the best show in town. Amen? So we have that assurance. Hallelujah. You know, so there's dangerous times we live in. The prophets spoke about it. We heard that in our prayer meeting yesterday. And I've been hearing that, the dangerous times. And you go to the New Testament, and sometimes we look at the Old Testament, we're going, well, the Old Testament is the old life, and that applies to things that are in the past. But the fact is, the Old Testament was a prophetic voice to that time, maybe in the past and into the future. And so 2 Timothy 3:1 and 2 said, but know this, that in the last days, periodical times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient unto parents, unthankful, unholy. Wow. You know, I guess I'm not going to say, well, these are the last times, because all of that is going on. And I don't know if that's going on, but I know about money situations, whether it be in the governmental, political, and everything, just throw a bunch of money at it. Even if you don't have it, print some more and throw some money at it and it'll go away, or at least settle down for a season of time. And every day we hear this on the news, throw some money at it. And so it's definitely a prophetic thing. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient. And you start looking at the world that we're living in, and the leaderships and political people, not only political people, but people that are making statements about God about the Word of God, which if we don't have the Word of God, we're in big problems. You know, that Word right there, we can grab and we can hold on to. So we know that these are the days that will come at the end of the age. I was thinking about, in our news, we hear subject matter. What are the nations we hear about besides the United States at this time on our newscast? And if you follow, what one nation? Huh? Israel, definitely. We will be talking about Israel. Another one? Yeah. We're not getting... Russia. Okay, Russia is definitely, I mean, if you did something wrong, it was because of the Russians. You know, I mean, you don't have anything. Don't worry. If you're in any way, shape, or form, they'll blame the Russians for it, you know. Putin, you did it. And then we go and we try to straighten out everything with Russia, and that doesn't work so good, and it kind of is on the edge of our mind. You know, in the scriptures, if you'd go over to Ezekiel, and this isn't going to be a deep understanding of prophetic truth of the end times, but it does say that Gog and Magog, which was modern-day Russia, and Gog was a leader, and Magog was the nation. And so they said that they were going to gather together many nations, and they were going to come down on this little nation called Israel. You know, Israel's loved by all the nations around them, right? No, that's not the truth. In fact, most nations, at least the Arab nations, are saying death to Israel. Death to Israel. I mean, when you hear that, you're going, boy, I feel good about that today. And this little nation that is surrounded by all these other nations, this last week they shot in 4,000 bombs into Israel. This is a little nation. 4,000 bombs. Could you imagine? That's a lot of bombs. And it did do some damage, and it killed some people, which is never great. But if you had 4,000, just think if the United States had 2 bombs dropped on it. We'd bellyache and beller until all the cows came home. You know? But we sit here in our newscasting stations and criticize and analyze Israel for doing what they're doing after they had 4,000 bombs dropped on them. I'm just going, is this unfair balances? And you see, Israel, whatever you think of them, whatever you do, if you come against Israel, if it's a nations that come against Israel, it won't be good for them, because they're the apple of God's eye. And so you can't get, and so even with the United States, we're kind of in the balance. We're going, well, I don't know, I'd like to speak against Israel, but I know that it will not be popular at the voting box. It won't be popular with the Christians, because they know something about Israel, and even all the political leaders know something about Israel, that we will stick with Israel. You know, and we call it, well, there's the only capitalistic government in the Middle East, and we have this type of relationship with them, which is true. But the fact is, I believe that we're living in the end of the age. I believe that there's prophetic things that are being fulfilled right now, that are being prepared right now to be fulfilled. And these are the things that are going to happen. And of course, usually what happens is we go to the natural. Well, that's not going to happen in the natural. It's going to be spiritual. You know, it's kind of like China is with the armies of China. There was never supposed to be an army, or I should say, there has never been an army that had 200 million people in it. Now, today, we have a nation that has an army that could have 200 million people in its physical army. Now, when that was an impossibility, let's say 30, 40 years ago, they'd say, well, that's impossible. But now they're going, wow, it's even getting to the number in a natural sense, because they were saying, well, it'll be 200 million spiritual deals. And, you know, we get really out there spiritually. That's what it's talking about, 200 demonic forces coming against Israel. But the fact is, from the natural and in the spiritual, I think we have some major, major problems that we have to face as Christians, to pray, to intercede, to realize that these are the things that are going on. And so when we aren't feeling like, wow, this is the greatest thing that ever happened, it's the days of the end time. You know, I have a testimony. I gave my life to Jesus Christ on Super Bowl Sunday, and I remembered the message that was being preached, and it was on Matthew 24. And those that know anything about Matthew 24, it's pretty good, pretty graphic, definitely talking about the end time in Matthew. And I'm just going to turn over there and read some scripture. It was a pretty heavy duty deal as a non-Christian person listening to Lou Lundstrom. He's a real historical person, and he began to talk about this nation, Israel. I knew nothing about Israel. I knew nothing about an end time scenario, but boy, was I interested. And where'd that interest come? I mean, I had fire on the inside of me. Well, it had so much fire, I gave my life to Christ, you know, and you don't do that every day. We probably should, but at least recommit every day. Boy, it looks like I haven't trained this Bible yet. Come on, Bible. Here we go. Okay. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to show him the buildings of the temple. Okay. And Jesus told them that there will not be a rock that will be on top of each other in time to come. But in verse 3 it said, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, and you know what, it would be like us coming privately, well, when's this all going to happen? It'd be like today in this service, well, when is it going to happen? What is it going to look like? Who's going to be involved in it? Well, Matthew 24, it says, as he sat on Mount Olive, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Who wants Jesus to come? I want Jesus to come. Now, do I want, you know, as a young person, especially if you have kids, you know, like 5, 6 years old, you'd kind of like to raise your kids before Jesus comes so you can see how they turned out and all that. That used to go through my mind at times because my kids were very young. Now I just say, come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Come, Lord Jesus. You know, I just had my second shot of the vaccine, and I tell you what, I hate COVID-19. For just having it around, that thing is a plague, especially to Pastor Jake. But I'm feeling good now. And it isn't because of the shot. Every time I took a shot, I felt like I got it back again. I said, thank God that's the last one. Hallelujah. So we have to realize that Matthew 24 is giving us an indication that there's a coming of the end of the age. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceive you. Okay? So I don't want to be deceived. It even told us, be careful, we could be deceived. And then it goes on, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many, and will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Okay, so all of these things that are going to come, wars, rumors of wars, they're going to come. And there'll probably be wars and rumors of wars, and we certainly live in that time. And the Bible in the Old Testament told us that Russia was going to gather, or the nations from the north was going to gather all of these people, and they were going to swoop down on Israel. Okay? Why Israel? Why don't you pick on someone bigger? You know, I mean, really, why Israel? Well, Israel was God's promised people, and he said this is what was going to happen, and Ezekiel prophesied it way back many thousand years ago, saying this is what's going to happen. And they have the nations all lined up there, and they'll just lay it right on out, and you can check on the nations, and there are books written about it. I haven't read one just lately, but these things are the things to come. And it said that when Russia comes down with all of these nations, that there was going to be earthquakes, hailstones. It wasn't going to look good. Well, anyway, after it was all said and done, 85% of the army that came down to destroy Israel will be destroyed. And it'll take 7 to 8 months to clean up the dead. You know, I mean, that sounds like a pretty rough deal. I don't know if I want to be around here for that deal. Well, it's a sign and a wonder. And these things are the things that are before us. And without Christ, I don't know. I don't think I'd want to be around. But with Christ, he'll keep us. Amen. And if we did go to pass into eternity, we'll only be living with him in his greatness and his wonder. There's another army story was talking about in Revelations, where it talked about a nation that was going to have 200 million people that were going to come, and that was going to be the army. And like I said, over the years, there was never an army of 200 million people, and it didn't seem like that had ever happened. But now the numbers in China, they have 200 million people, now not signed up for their military as much, but they have said that they could assemble 200 million people to fight for China. You know? So the very things that the Bible says are true, and it'll start coming through. And then we see Palestine, and we see Israel, and all of the enemies of Israel, and they want to destroy Israel. And for some reason, America got thrown in there too. It was death to Israel, death to America. You know, I don't know how we got thrown in there. I guess we're supposed to know better, because maybe the gospel of the kingdom of God has been probably preached more in America than any other nations in the earth. And if we don't have it by now, we probably never get it. I mean, we've got more news stations. We got more understanding of what God's wanting to do for us as a nation, for a people, for a family. I mean, we have all sorts of different things, don't we? I mean, you could, and then, of course, we do have the internet and all that stuff. So in Matthew, as it goes on, it said, for nations will rise up against nations, kingdom against kingdoms, and there will be famines and pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrow. Not the end of sorrow, the beginning of sorrow. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Are we excited about the good news of the kingdom? Now, this is Matthew 24, and this is Jesus talking. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. How about our cities? All over the United States, and you go to a city, and they have all sorts of different things going on. They're wanting to defund the law enforcement, and so many people saying, no, we don't want to defund the law enforcement because we need their protection. And so it's this big deal again, and it's really about lawlessness. Okay, you have a business in town, and a bunch of thugs get the idea that they're going to come and burn down your building. Are you happy yet? No. But that lawlessness, it's a lawlessness, a spirit of lawlessness that comes upon people, and they just don't care anymore. And how would you like to deal with that as law enforcement? You know, I don't know, man. I do pray for the law enforcement. Do I like law enforcement? Yes, I do if they don't bother me. If I'm driving 65 and they pick me up, you're supposed to be 55. 55. Oh, okay. And don't get a bad one about the law enforcement. It was the law. Amen. And sometimes they give you grace. I got picked up by a game warden a couple days ago, and I've been more game wardens. Don't worry, I'm safe out on the ice or in a boat because them game wardens, I know they're coming for me. But they're good. I mean, like this guy, I didn't see him, and I was going to the church, and Jaden was with me, and I had a helmet on him with the right helmet. You know, you have to have the special helmet. And so the game warden, he got me. I was the guy that was wrong. I didn't have license on my four-wheeler. I didn't have the lights on. Okay, if you have a four-wheeler, you have to have lights on at all times. So I got that. And then he looked at me and he said, don't I know you? I said, yeah, you know me. You've been down to the fish house that I've been in occupying probably 5 different times. And I thought they just got cold right next to the fish house so they could come in and warm up. You know? All right. Well, so much for this and that. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. The love of many have grown cold because lawlessness. Who cares? Hey, I can do what I wanted. I did it my way. Yeah, a lot of people do it their way. But you threaten other people's lives and their well-being and all of that, and pretty soon it just boils down to just lawlessness. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. So if the game warden comes again, I'm going to endure until the end, and I'll be saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But I love this next scripture. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all of the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. When will the end come? When the gospel is preached to all the nations. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost on that. So whatever we can do and whatever we do, we should preach the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. And that's your next door neighbor. He or she is also in the nations. Amen. And your testimony is the most powerful. Your testimony got you saved. All right? And if it got you saved, then it should get others saved. As Mary, as she was praying for Jake, bad Jake, big Jake, bad Jake, mean Jake. And she said, if Jake could get saved, anyone could get saved. And so here I am. I see what she was. She must have just read this scripture. And then it said, witness to all nations, and then the end will come. All right. Praise God. Hallelujah. She must have got a hold of that scripture and said, we'll keep on praying. We'll keep on praying for that guy. And here I are. Hallelujah. So these are some of the signs that are going to happen. You know, we don't want tribulation. Who wants to go through tribulation? Who wants to go through persecution? But it says that those that are righteous will be persecuted. Why? It's because you're an odd duck. You know? And why? It's because you're out of water as an odd duck. And they're looking at you and saying, why don't you just go along with the whole gang, you know, doesn't make any difference what anyone does anyway. It does make a difference. And the Holy Scriptures are true. And when you do the Holy Scriptures, it will make a difference for you, your loved ones, the people around you. I mean, the best thing you could do, like in an Arctic Cat, if you were sent and assigned to Arctic Cat, go in and just, well, I'm just going to be low-key, and I'm not going to say too much, and then they won't know that I'm a Christian, and then I'll get by, and I won't be persecuted. I tell you what, it's you can get by with that, but you won't be very happy. And if they find out, which they will find out, because for some reason you are acting different, you have a different spirit about you, your love towards someone, you're looking at them, they'll come and say, why are you so strange? I remember the VFW, I was an elder at the VFW before I switched teams, and veterans of foreign wars, and we would tell our war stories, lie about whatever we told, but the fact is, when I gave my life to Jesus, they weren't so excited about it. And I remember the last days that I was there, they said, you know what? You'll be back. And in my head and my heart, I said, I'll never be back. And maybe it was just my stubbornness in those days. I'll never be back. And never have went back as far as in being an elder. I wasn't really voted in as an elder, but maybe I was an honorary elder. Hallelujah. So the gospel of the kingdom, when that's preached, things are going to accelerate. I mean, right now, I believe we're right on the time of the end of the age. I really believe that Jesus Christ is watching and preparing us as a chaste church, that he's preparing us to say, these things are going to come. What are you going to do about it? Be prepared. Amen. The Bible also talks about, in Matthew, it talked about a thief. If a thief comes into your house and you knew the thief was going to come, what would you do? You'd prepare that when the thief came, you would catch him or her and you'd deal with him. You know, and so really what Jesus was saying, hey, prepare that a thief cannot come into your house and steal what you have. Prepare, the time is close. The handwriting is all over the wall. The prophetic things have been spoken. The armies have been built. And they're gathering. Right now, there's preparation to come down on Israel, swoop down on Israel, the apple of God's eye. And you monkey with the apple of God's eye, you are in big, big trouble. And they will find out that they're dealing with a very dangerous, dangerous man called God. And they will. And I don't have all the prophetic books. Maybe I'm going to start reading some stuff on the prophetic line again and get everyone all upset. We were raptured before anything happened. You don't have to worry about any of that because you're going to be taken up and there's going to be the 7-year. Hey, prepare ourselves, yes. Right? I am prepared to whatever we have to go through, we'll go through it and we win. The snake, kill the snake because it loses. This demonic thing that wants to come and just take over and put fear in our lives, it loses. So instead of tearing down the webs, kill the spider. Instead of, petting the snake, kill the snake. And that's mostly in our minds because sometimes we don't put this in our mind, we put everything else in our mind, right? I mean, I'm real concerned about that. I said, if you throw a snake right down here and it's a poisonous snake, I'd be very concerned about that very quickly. I'd be going, get that thing out of here. But sometimes we look at the world that we live in and all of the craziness that's going on and we're our hands are wringing our hands and stuff, and we look at our migration system, and we look at financial deals that are going on, and the money that is being spent, and you just start going like that. Don't get in it. Don't get into it. Get into the Bible. Get into the truth of God's word. Pray with understanding from above. Amen. You remember, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He wants us to call heaven into earth. You remember, that's a good prayer right there. I don't care what you say, that's a good prayer. And you call heaven into earthly situations, and when heaven comes in, earthly situations have to come into submission to the God of heaven and earth, to the God of the Lord's Prayer. Amen? And so, when I first got saved, it was hard on my face because I hadn't smiled like I smiled having salvation on the inside. I was smiling all the time. And I found out my face hurt. And I started wondering about that. I said, these are my big questions to God when I first got saved. Why does my face hurt, God? It's because you're smiling all the time. I went up to the Indian reserves up in northern Canada and they called me Moonface. No kidding. I don't know if I took it as a compliment. The next time I went up there and I shaved all my hair off, they called me Mr. Clean. And then I didn't even realize that there is a Mr. Clean. I mean, in the flesh, a Mr. Clean in the flesh. And he looked a lot like me. I don't think he had the mustache, but he... And so this little kid, he comes, we're in the grocery store. Were you on that little endeavor? So little kid goes, Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean. I'm going, what in the world is going on anyway? Why do they do this to me? And I found out that Mr. Clean had come to their village. And their So he seen Mr. Clean, and he just looked at me, another Mr. Clean, or the same one. Hallelujah. I love the Lord. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken about in Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads this, let him have understanding. You're going to need some understanding then. Then let those who are in the Judah flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take away out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. Kind of giving us preparation time. We've got it. These are the things that are going to happen. Let's be prepared. Let's not just live, you know, loose living. You know, God is preparing a people that will understand the time that we live in, and we can pray for other people because they're going to be asking. I had an understanding. I was reading this book, and it talked about how many Christians are on the earth, and it gave a number like, well, it was in the billions, so that was good. But it said that if you line them all up at one time, they would line up 40 miles long, which is 40 miles a long ways. But then they said the unsaved, and so they went with the billion, but the unsaved, it would wrap the world 40 times around the world with believers next to each other, the unsaved. 40 times around the world, that's 25,000 or more miles around the world. 40 times they would be, that's how many people that are not saved. That's a lot of people. Do we have a job to do? Well, Jesus will do it. He kind of gave us the indication that we are the Christ on the earth. Amen? We are the anointed ones and appointed ones to bring the gospel to the nations of the earth that do not have Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And that's a lot of people when you start thinking 40 times around the earth. That's a phenomenal number. So, yes, there's a lot of Christians, but there's a lot of non-Christians. Yes, how are you going to do it? Well, at our Bible college, we have 170 languages that we can present the gospel to them from this church. From our Bible college, we got 170 different translations to other people in other nations. Now, that's a good way to do it. Now, we don't have 170 nations represented in Community Church United Team International Bible College, but why not start somewhere? I know we have probably 50 nations, and if you start somewhere, it'll start finishing up somewhere. Amen. What do you think Jesus? I would say that Jesus would want all to be saved and none to be lost. I believe the most important thing we could do is bring the truth of the gospel, not some faith gospel. I love faith. I love the faith teaching and all that. But faith, it's more to the Bible than just faith. You need faith, but there's much more to the Bible than just faith. And these nations, when they talked about it in the Old Testament, it was talking about prophetic things that were going to happen in the later days. And then Jesus started talking about them later days. And Revelations is one talking about China again, an army of that many people. Now, I would like to say that China probably has more Christians in China. I'm not quite for sure, but I know that the underground church has more, something like 50 million people that are under and meet in houses, and they don't even put the addresses on them, and they meet there, and God starts talking to them where they're going to meet the next week. I love that type of thought, that God's leading us to that end, that he's saying, go to that person's house, and there's going to be a prayer meeting there. And China is a... I've been praying for it. I said, release the power of prayer upon all of the people in China that have given their lives to Christ so that the whole country can be taken over by Jesus. You know, I hear about Allah and I hear about all these other gods, and you know what? It's just causing a whole lot of problem. Whether it be a color barrier, whether it be a financial barrier, whatever barrier it is, Jesus did not create it, did not endorse it, did not say, I bless it. He said that we have been made in the image and likeness of an almighty God in the book of Revelations, that you will walk with me and you will be like me. Amen. And Adam and Eve, you know, it was a tough deal what they went through. But the real deal is, how about us? Will we go back to the garden? Don't you think that God is calling us back to the garden to walk with him in the cool of the evening? There's a place where God's wanting us to come and just say, hey, son, hey, daughter, I want you back in the garden where the peace and provisions and prosperity and love and concern of a God that can do that. Because it's incapable for mankind because of that nature that was displayed at that time for man to walk perfectly in the kingdom. Probably the greatest understanding is in Ephesians 4, where it said that I will send apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Okay, and what were they going to do? The five-fold ministry, what were they going to do? For the perfection of the saints, to do the work of the ministry. Wow. Do we have a high calling? I love the word perfection. You know, most Christians say, well, we can't, none of us are perfect. Well, none of us are perfect, but I want to be perfect. I want to see God. I want to be attentive to his word and wanting to do what he has called us to do. And if the fivefold ministry can do that, I'm more for that than anything else. You know, God, changed me. Rearrange everything in my life that does not please you. Lord, take and perfect me into your goodness and your likeness. You know, when Jesus, he walked on the earth as a perfect man. And when they killed him, that was the biggest problem the devil ever did. He caused himself a problem up to this time and forever for him. However long, forever. And thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ and a perfect man that came. And God so loved the world that he sent his only son. And now he's created sons and daughters, and we are the sons and daughters of God. We are the anointed. We are the Christs that are walking on the earth today. Amen. Why don't we stand up? Father, I thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Danny, would you go get just a little glass of oil, would you? We did this yesterday, And I just felt like, well, it's biblical for one thing that we would anoint, and we're just going to anoint with oil. If you're not wanting to be anointed, that's not a problem. If you're concerned about anything, it's not a problem. But I'll have Pastor Jim. Is Jim here? Oh, okay. He was hiding. No, he wasn't hiding. Jim, would you stand right here as an elder of the church? And I got Danny coming with some oil. Yeah, thank you, Sarah. All right. And you know what? This one guy, he come and he said, yeah, would you pray for me? And I said, we will pray for you if you say thank you. And he looked at me, you know, kind of like, why should I say thank you? I said, because I'm going to pray for you. Oh, well, why do you want me to say thank you? Because I want you to be thankful. You know, and I was messing with him. I know the guy pretty good. But the fact is, you know, when we are anointed and when we get healed, I got healed, thank you, Jesus. They prayed for me yesterday. I feel 100 times better. And been battling. This year's been a real tough battle physically for me, but I just believe that God has healed. And you know, we were at a prayer meeting with 5 or 6 men, and I just took it. And I'm waiting for that call that the guy will call me up and say, thank you, Jake, for praying for me. And, you know, the Bible tells us this, that we are supposed to anoint with oil. And of course, it's the anointing oil, and it's Christ that heals you. We don't heal you. But you know what? If we're obedient in doing it, then, and you're obedient in whatever you're needing, then I believe that God's touched you and that there's a healing. And so what we're going to do, you know what we're going to do, is anyone that is wanting to be anointed, and all it's going to be is a cross on your head, and then you can go back, and then we'll pray as a corporate body, all right? All right, so let's take 5 minutes. Pastor Jim is here. I'll give that, Jake. Jim, would you anoint me with? Here. Thank you. Just an example. Go ahead if you're wanting prayer. If there's any sickness in your family, in any area, the Bible says come and be anointed by the elders. And I confirm that these guys are elders. If there's anything concerning you, let the anointing oil touch you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anoint Linda right now in all of the power of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Yes, yes. Bless you, Keith. Hallelujah. If there's someone that you know that is sick and that you're wanting to stand in the gap for them, you know, I don't think you have to go, we're not, you know, you don't have to get anointed 15 times. But if you are thinking about someone that has something in their body, you could say, I anoint them with the oil, the anointing oil of Christ. And that's what he told us to do. Go to the pastors, go to the ministers, and let them anoint you with oil. And it says that you will recover. Didn't say maybe. I like the stableness of the word. Father, right now in the name of Jesus Christ, we apply the anointing oil as we've received it on our forehead. God, that the anointing, the Bible says that the anointing would break the yoke. And if there's something that has been, whether it's been a habit or whatever, it would be broken by the oil of God's Spirit. Whether it's been unbelief, not believing that God could do something, We break that, and by the anointing of God, that we could say yes and amen to what God is accomplishing today in this place. And Lord, as we walk in this life, that our family, all over the earth, each one of us, because that's pretty much what it's all about anyway. My family came from Norway. Your family probably come from Denmark. Others, Germany. You know, world changers. Hallelujah. If there's something that's going on in your heart and in your life in any way, just give it to Jesus right now. And Father, we thank you now for that anointing oil and for the command that you told us to do. And we're just carrying out your commands now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. All right. Yeah, we do have a saint, Les Gilmet. He's been battling, gallstones? Yeah, and then he had some other stuff that they had to deal with. So we're going to pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ. You said that we'd pray for one another, especially those that are in your body. If we don't pray for them in our church, then we're not doing much any good. So we pray for Les right now. And in the name of Jesus Christ, that the hand of God is upon him. The anointing oil that we even put out there right now is upon him, Darla, and the whole family. We ask that the angels of God would be with them, ministering to them in every aspect, and every area would be success for Les, Darla, and their family now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his goodness shine upon you. Let it just shine. You could sing the song, Shine, Jesus, Shine. Hallelujah. And so be blessed and have a great, great next week. Next week is Memorial Day weekend. Is that a week? Yeah. Yeah. So we'd have Saturday, Sunday, and Monday to go fishing. Okay. I got in trouble. I cleaned the fish, but I forgot to take it out of the garage. Not the fish, the innards of the fish. So I have had my discipline. God bless you guys. Have a great, great week in Christ. Amen.
Pastor Dave is supposed to be here on the 7th or the
14th? 7th.
Okay.
First Monday.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Sarah. Good stuff. Good stuff. Bless you guys. Have a wonderful, wonderful week in Jesus. Good God all the time.